Blog Talk Radio.
You find out life's a game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game. Every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch.
Yep. Well, there you go. Coming right back at you here on a Tuesday, the following week, 16 here in the NFL. Frat House Mike coming to you on the Red Zone Blitz right here on Frat House Sports Radio Network. We're going to get into everything that just took place in what was the week right before the last week of the regular season of the NFL. Hard to believe that we are already here. I, you know, we work our way up to this all year long. You know, we go through all the combines and the draft and the, you know, fantasy and draft fit. And here we go. We're sitting here. It's the end of the year. It's Christmas time. And, well, we only have 1 week remaining in the NFL season. Joining me, as always, the other brain trust of this program, Brandon. Brandon, how are we doing tonight?
Good, good. Ready to talk some football.
Ready
Get
to
ready
do
for
it.
The week 17. Gotta love it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a couple of moments because, you know, we mentioned this last night. There are scenarios that are still hanging out there, obviously. They're fewer, but much more complicated now that we're into the final week. Fewer scenarios available, but now a little more complicated as we get into it. Because a lot of the playoff positions have now already been actually decided. It's really just a matter of, well, who's going to be number one? Who's going to be number two? Who's going to get the bye week? Who's not going to get the bye week? You know, who's going to be, you know, all that sort of stuff. But,
AFC has New England, you know, got home field throughout. That's been decided.
Right.
So now they, you know, there's still the other bye, and the whole NFC is, you know, kind of up for grabs. Nobody's clinched a bye yet.
And we still have no stinking clue what is going on in the NFC South.
No, we're not going to know the end of that till the end of the Carolina Panther-Falcons game. We do know this, that the New Orleans Saints are not winning, so they've been mathematically eliminated somehow.
You're right. That was about the only thing that we did determine out of the NFC South this past weekend.
And that's because they can finish tie with Atlanta, and Atlanta's 5-0 in their division, so by that tiebreaker, Atlanta would beat the Saints no matter what the Saints do.
Exactly.
So I don't think there's a scenario because a tie wouldn't do it. And, you know, Carolina or Atlanta has to win because they play each other, you know, in theory. So the Saints are done.
Yep.
They're making their tee times, as they say.
But make no mistake, the Carolina Panthers are still, yeah, they're still relevant. but we'll talk about that one in a couple
Look
of
at it. They're in the driver's seat.
They actually are in a roundabout way. With that half game,
I don't think the half game even going to come into play because they're playing Atlanta, but they kind of have been on a little roll, you know, and Cam Newton came back last week and, you know, they're starting to look healthy. I don't know. Atlanta's kind of still looking a little rough around the edges, as they say.
But that's all to come. We're going to get into that in this next hour or so as we're here with you here on the 23rd of December, the eve of Christmas Eve. I just wanted to throw out there for anybody that's interested. I know Brandon is. I know you must be sitting on the edge of your seat. Believe it or not, we do have a bowl game that is going on at this very moment, folks. The Boca Raton Bowl between Marshall and Northern Illinois is going on right now.
Is it played in Florida, at least, if it's named the Boca Raton Bowl?
I believe so. Yes, I believe
it is. I hope so.
Marshall right now is winning that one 17-7 over Northern Illinois. Just wanted to bring everybody up to date. You know, hey, it's a football-centric program here. I thought it was my duty to bring us up to date on what's going on.
Anybody in Boca Raton ain't watching that, I'm sure. They're probably at the game. It's nice in Florida.
There you go.
Should be.
And the Poinsettia Bowl will be coming up later on this evening yet. Yeah, we're into bowl season. It's not the good bowls, but, well, anyhow. Listen, we've already wasted enough time. What we want to do is we want to get you guys involved, please. And don't you have no excuses. Don't even tell me, I wasn't around. No. Nonsense. 347-826-9964. I know what you're doing right now. You're sitting there. You're doing last minute rapping. You're messing around with that tree yet that you still haven't gotten decorated or it's not fully decorated. All right. I know that's what you're doing, and you're listening in. And all you got to do is give us a call. 347-826-9964. If you're listening via computer, jump in on Skype. You sound like you're sitting right next to us. It's beautiful. Or jump into the chat room and give us put up your comments there, and I'll bring it to the airwaves. We have a couple of people in the chat right now, so I appreciate that. Let us know what you're thinking. You know, how did your team do this year? The season's over for many, many teams. And Brandon, that's a great segue right into where I want to start off with. I want to start off with the Philadelphia Eagles, and I want to start off with the Washington Redskins this past week, because that was a Saturday game. And look, here it was. The bottom line was this, and we don't make any qualms about it. I don't make any qualms about it. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Have been for, I hate to mention it, 30 plus, well, maybe 40 years. All the Eagles had to do was win to continue to be in the conversation. Now, there was no guarantee that even the win was going to get them there. But what the first thing they had to do was win the game. Brandon, they lost three in a row to end the season. They were 9-3. They were 9-3. Oddsmakers had them a 93% chance of making the playoffs. They lost three in a row, Seattle, Dallas, and then Washington, and they're out of the playoffs. This was just absolutely incredible. And, you know, there are so many really weird things about this game when you sit back and you look at it. First of all, you got the negatives. Dear God, the penalties were just ridiculous. 13 penalties for 102 yards. And some of these penalties, Brandon, were just lame brain. I mean, they were stupid, lame brain penalties that you work out in the first, you know, that's why we have preseason, is some of these penalties, or at least you're working them out within the first couple of weeks. Penalties, Cody Parkey misses two field goals. But, you know, everybody wants to scream and yell and holler about Mark Sanchez. 37 of 50, 374 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Of course, there's an interception.
And a fumble.
But a 99.9 QB rating, this wasn't a bad performance by Sanchez. You can't put the blame at his feet on this thing. Maybe with the exception, again, we got to come back to the game planning. Why in the world are you putting Sanchez in a position where he has to throw the ball 50 times? No one saw this coming, I don't think, that the Philadelphia Eagles would be sitting on the outside looking in and potentially going and playing a meaningless game now against the Giants in Week 17. Huh?
Well, first of all, I hate to disagree with you, but I do.
Go ahead.
Mark Sanchez, two turnovers. Two turnovers early in the game were costly that led directly to points and put them in a hole. The first one, that strip fumble where he's standing there, totally unaware of the guy coming behind him, not moving around in the pocket, standing there like a statue to have his pocket pick like he always has, was bad. The interception, both of them led directly to points for Washington. You can't do that, you know, and expect to win in the NFL. Now, I don't think anybody expected Washington to come back. I mean, they've only, you know, revolved the quarterback door another time, and we had RG3 back now, who now all of a sudden is the savior or starting quarterback of the Redskins again after getting trashed for weeks and weeks by his head coach. So, you know, you never know what to expect. You know, one can only hope that they put up the same kind of performance against Dallas this week. You know, Dallas is in, but I'd like to see Dallas not have a first-round bye, you know, just out of, you know, because, you know, they are in the same division as the Eagles. I mean, I'm not as hardcore of an Eagle fan as you, but I like, you know, as far as the NFC goes, I root for the Eagles. I'd like to see them do well. It's a shame. Three in a row, I mean, two of the three teams are playoff teams, so I guess you can't really, you know, make too many excuses, but they should have certainly won this game against Washington. There's really no excuse for it. You know, and you could be right. It could be game plan. It could be a combination of things, you know, but I just hope they can, you know, build upon what they've had the last two seasons. I mean, if they win this week against New York, they're going to be a 10-6 team on the outside looking in. You know, last year that was Arizona, and look at Arizona mm-hmm. now. They're in a hunt for the number one seed if they, you know, if things fall right. You know,
but let me ask you.
I don't know if they're going to get it, but you know, they're in the hunt anyway.
Let me ask you a question in preparation for tomorrow night's Inside the War Nest, which Jim Williams and myself will be doing, and we're going to be breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles because that's our Philadelphia Eagles program right here Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can catch it here live Inside the War Nest. Let me ask you a question though, with regard to that, just real quick on the Philadelphia Eagles. And we have a lot of games we want to get over, so I don't want to spend too much time on this one. But you talk about building on something. You know, you hope that the Philadelphia Eagles can build on something. You know, they're a 10-6 team. Listen, 10-6 is not an easy thing to do in the NFL. We know this. The Eagles were 4-12 two seasons ago, and they pulled a 10-6 season last year. Potentially, we might be able to replicate a 10-6 season this year. But I got to ask you the question as an outsider kind of looking in. The Philadelphia Eagles, are they overrated? And did they really build anything?
I don't know if they're overrated. I think they've improved in a lot of areas. They need to improve in a wide receiver. The loss, because they created the loss of DeSean Jackson was highly noticeable, you know, in their big play downfield ability that they had last year. I'm not saying that, you know, Macklin's a bad receiver. I think Macklin's a nice receiver. I think he needs, you know, a little compliment in a guy like DeSean Jackson. And I think, you know, they could have a solid, you know, receiving core with a downfield threat. I don't know if somebody, you know, that might be a high, you know, need in the draft this year. Maybe they can, you know, pluck somebody like an Odell Beckham or even Kelvin Benjamin from the Panthers has had a good year as a rookie. You know, get a nice receiver, add to it. I mean, Zach Ertz shows promise. McCoy's not having the kind of year he had last year, but some of that could be attributed to, as you pointed out, game planning and lack of, you know, calling his number. I think the addition of Darren Sproles is a nice little piece to the offense. So, yeah, I think they've built. They need to address the secondary on defense. You know, their front seven isn't horrible. They're pretty decent against the run. They can get a pass rush. So I think they need, you know, their first couple picks, you know, they need to look at wide receiver and cornerback and safety. You know, get a couple, you know, defensive backs. Maybe make a free agent signing in the secondary. You know, you're not going to get depth, you know, all from the draft. You might need to add a veteran. I don't know if you go for a big splashy guy, but they could. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know exactly who's going to be out there. I know, well, Darrell Revis in New England isn't going to be there at the number he's at. I mean, they did sign him to a 2-year deal, but the second year was all fluff, and it's like $20 million. He's going to either be cut or they're going to redo a deal. So, I mean, he may be available. You know, so I think there's help for the Eagles out there. I think they got a good core.
Let me go to the real quick one final question, and then we're going to go over to that Texans and Ravens game. Macklin is a free agent come the end of the season. Do the Eagles go out of their way to sign him?
Well, I read a report today on Pro Football Talk that they're going to talk about it, and he'd like to have a contract extension in place before he even hits free agency. So it's possible. I think he's. Let's put it this way: a $5 million prove it deal this year. I think he kind of proved it. I think he's healthy. Came back from the ACL. I think he's, you know, if you get him for a decent number, I'm not going to say top dollar. He's not a, you know, sure thing number one receiver, but he's a solid number two.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'd like to see them re-sign him. I'd be as an Eagles fan, I'd be disappointed if they didn't. I think he's a solid player.
Interesting. I might have some interesting comments.
What do you think as far as an Eagles?
Well, I think I might reserve my comments for tomorrow evening's Inside the War Nest, because I think I'm going to shock a few people.
Wow.
I'll hint right now. I personally don't give a damn.
Wow.
Whether they sign him or not. That's just where I'm coming down on it. And I'll go through it tomorrow night on Inside the War Nest. But personally, he had a great season. I give him that. But do I think that we could pick somebody up just as good, cheaper, in either the draft or potentially free agent? Yes, I do.
There may be a point for that, but just look at it like this. You're stuck with Riley Cooper. They signed him to a 5-year deal. Josh Matthews has shown some promise, but he's not, you know, he's a rookie, so, you know, you don't want to – I don't think you want to have that much turnover in that position. I think Macklin gives you some stability, and you know you got to add a piece or two in that area. I don't know if you want to make the addition worse by getting rid of Macklin. In other words, you know, I think you got a solid core. You need to improve on it. Don't make it even harder by getting rid of somebody who's, I think, a good piece. Anyway,
I hear what you're saying, and maybe discretion should be the better part of valor on that one. But let's jump over and visit the AFC North for a moment, because this has been one that, Brandon, you and I have talked about a lot over the past 15 weeks right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Because you and I kind of going back and forth, I think we're both kind of in agreement that the Bengals are But you and I have kind of disagreed as to whether it's Pittsburgh or it's Baltimore that are really kind of the team to carry the flag for this division. Right now, as we're looking at it, amazingly, it is Cincinnati, having beaten the Broncos last evening, 37-28. But Pittsburgh, I think, went a long way this past weekend, and I think Baltimore certainly showed their colors. Baltimore lost to the Houston Texans, and we talked about this one a little bit. What is this? Houston's fourth quarterback this season? Case Keenum comes in, 20 of 42, a mere 185 yards, no touchdowns, one INT, and a 50.2 QB rating. Now, some could sit back and go, oh, those aren't very good numbers. Well, those were only outdone by one Joe Flacco. 21 of 50, 195 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions, and a 41.7 QB rating. This Baltimore Ravens team just seems to consistently, when their backs are against the wall, they shoot themselves in the foot, Brandon. Seriously. And that's why I've been saying all season long, it's Pittsburgh, man, it's Pittsburgh.
Well, I think you're going to be proven correct. I mean, Pittsburgh's in. Baltimore's done. They're mathematically out. So, yeah, they've killed themselves. When it comes right down to it, you know, one of the things you pointed out in that this is what, the fifth Houston Texans quarterback? For five quarterbacks, they're not doing a bad job. They're 8-7 with a chance to go 9-7. And they've had some solid play from Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Mallett. They both looked okay. They've been hit by the injury, you know, the injury part of it that's, you know, unfortunate. So, you know, I don't know what to say as far as that goes. And I'm double-checking myself here. I don't think Baltimore's completely out.
I was
going
to say, they're not out of it. Baltimore, to come back on you.
They need a lot of help. They need a lot of help. So,
because there's still one more position available in the AFC. And it would appear that it's going to come down to, and you help me out here, I guess it could come, I mean, Houston technically is still in there. It could come down to San Diego. I'm not sure what
San Diego and Baltimore are your top two favorites.
Exactly.
I think those are the two leading candidates looking at this, yeah. San Diego, I know we were talking about that the other night when they were playing, that their chances are pretty slim. You know, they're on the outside, you know, but, you know, a lot of this all depends upon, and it did depend upon, I think, last night's game, believe it or not.
Yes.
I think the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, basically punching their ticket by beating Denver kind of clarified, you know, at least the fifth spot. So now I think it makes, you know, the rest a little easier to kind of focus on.
Well,
but
I suppose.
I'm thinking San Diego and Baltimore, with Cleveland having an outside chance. Kansas City Chiefs, not Cleveland. Kansas City Chiefs having an outside chance. But that's going to have to be, you know, they need a lot of help. They need to win. Baltimore and Houston need to lose. They need a lot of help for, you know, them to make it.
On the mere surface of it at this point right now, San Diego travels to Kansas City.
Yeah,
to
so
the
they
Chiefs,
play head-to-head, correct.
Where the Chiefs right now are a mere 2.5-point favorite. All right, that's a San Diego line. Baltimore is staying at home and is playing Cleveland, huh? All right, Baltimore right now an 8.5-point favorite. You got to give this one a little bit. I guess you got to give the nod a little bit here to Baltimore. You've contended for a while. You're going to see the two wild cards out of the AFC North. It may end up being that way.
Yeah, it could be, but you know, like I said, it all depends on tiebreakers, and I think just trying to piece this together, believe it or not, even if Kansas City does win, I think as long as Baltimore wins, Baltimore's in. But however, the Chargers can win with just that and a little bit of help. It's so confusing how this all has to play out. I mean, San Diego can win or tie. You know, I hate when they do the tie bull crap, but, you know, if they win, it appears they're in with just a win. So San Diego can get in. If Kansas City wins, and Baltimore wins, and Baltimore gets in. So I don't really see how Kansas City can get in. I guess they need to win and have Baltimore lose and have Houston lose. So it's a three-piece puzzle for Kansas City.
And everybody that's out there listening needs to consider for a moment that all of this that we're talking about is for only one unspoken for playoff position, because all the other five have been determined.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Last week when we were talking on the show, we were saying, wow, the NFC is more up in the air,
exactly,
and there's going to be more machinations, and that kind of cleared itself up in
it
a week.
Sure did.
The only thing that's not settled is the order, because all the teams that are in are at 11-4.
Yep.
And, you know, the NFC South is coming down to a head-to-head game. So, you know, who knows? I mean, the seeding is going to be insane in the NFC.
I agree with you.
You have five teams all tied at 11-4. You know, so it's clearly going to come down to all kinds of tiebreakers. Two of them play head-to-head, so that game will have a big bearing on it between the Packers and Lions. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. These scenarios are insane.
But it's what makes this time of year so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And so much fun to talk about and to speculate about. And as we sit here, like I point out, we're sitting here talking about only the realization of one final playoff spot in the AFC. Hey, let's figure out all the different scenarios. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, listen, one scenario we don't have to figure out is, unlike what I thought all season long, you know, are the Saints in or out? Are they really the Saints or are they really not? And we found out the other day, as many have been telling me here for a long, long time, they're really not. I just don't know what to make of this Saints team, Brandon, this past year. I don't get it. I don't know. I think they have an awful lot of off-season work they need to do, an awful lot of off-season speculation. But here come the Atlanta Falcons into the Superdome, and they put a beat down on the New Orleans Saints, 30-14, in a game that the Saints had to win. They had to win this darn thing. And you know something? It wasn't so much that they had to win it, because look, let's get it straight. Everybody in the NFC South right now has to win every single week. You would have thought that the Saints would have come out and put up a better performance than what they did. I was absolutely amazed at how poorly they played. Now, again, though, you can't blame Drew Brees. 30-47, 313 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions, 72.4 QB rating. It wasn't his greatest performance in the world, but the guy had to put the ball in the air so many times because they got down so darn quickly. I mean, they were down 20-7 going into the fourth quarter. So I just don't get it. To me, I guess I'm wrong, but the Saints just appear to be a better team than the Falcons. Maybe I'm wrong, but the way it's standing right now in the standings, you know, that's not the way it's going.
Can I tell you what I think their problem is? Is defense. They just can't stop anybody.
Yep.
You know, I don't think it matters what Drew Brees does. I think he's pushing constantly. That's why you're seeing a lot of picks from him this year. He has no choice but to, you know, push hard because their defense is not stopping them at all. So at this point in time, I think that's the Saints' biggest offseason issue right now, is they need to figure it out. They need to figure out what's wrong with the defense and fix it. Whether or not they can, I don't know. There's a lot of speculation about the future of Rob Ryan. Is he going to be there? Is he not going to be there? I saw a report today. Some of the players are saying, yes, we definitely want him back. There's been at times during the season what appears to be friction between Sean Payton and Rob Ryan. So I don't know. It'll be interesting all season for the Saints, but they can start working on it now because they're done. And Atlanta, they got the matchup with the Panthers this week for the title. I don't think either team, any of the three, whoever would have, you know, if the Saints would have won and still been in it, I don't think any of them are going to win a game in the playoffs. It's irrelevant. I think they're a place filler, unfortunately.
Real quick, Drew Brees. You know, I think a lot of times it gets by a lot of people because, you know, he came into the league late, but he's 35 years old. Do the New Orleans Saints start to look for, you know, who's going to be the next guy?
Well, there's already been a few rumors about that. they've already, you know, broached the subject with him in the media, and he kind of bristled at that potential that they might be drafting his replacement this year. Mm-hmm. But I got to think it's got to be something they're looking at. I mean, you know, he's 35 years old and had a reconstructive shoulder when he went from the Chargers to the Saints. As a matter of fact, that's what the reason Miami passed on him. And apparently they had a pretty much a deal in place for him to go to Miami. And Miami, after they looked at all the doctors and his shoulder, said, nah, we're going to pass. And he ended up in New Orleans. What mm-hmm. a mistake Miami made. But, you know, that's ancient history. He's at the point now where he's, you know, got to be looking at the end. He's not going to play late into his 30s, into his early 40s like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. He doesn't have the stature. He's a much smaller quarterback.
Right. Right.
And he's had a lot more injury issues. I mean, okay, Peyton's had some injury issues with his neck, but, you know, and he may be still having effects of that, but he doesn't have his throwing shoulder reconstructed. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that major of a, you know, injury looming in his past. I'm not trying to minimize Peyton Manning's injury either. It's just, you know, I don't know what to say when it comes right down to, you know, Drew Brees' longevity.
Yeah, I think sometimes it gets, I'm just pointing it out because I think sometimes it gets by people that, you know, let's not forget Drew Brees, you know, and like I said, I think it gets by people because, you know, he came into the league a little bit later. And then, of course, you had the transition between, you know, because he was, you know, you had that trade that went in when he first came in. So, you know, I think it gets by people that Drew Brees is not perhaps, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers' age, you know. So, anyhow, I don't want to completely gloss over this Falcons-Saints game because I do want to touch on something here real quick, Brendan, and that's Matt Ryan, because I think that Matt Ryan, and I'm gonna give the Falcons a little bit of credit here, as they have kind of moved up to the best of anybody's ability in this particular division, Matt Ryan has actually looked pretty good, I would say, more recently in the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He went 30 of 40 for 322 yards and a touchdown and 106.5 QB rating. I know that you have contended all along that it doesn't matter who comes in. You know, take your pick of any of the teams. It doesn't matter who comes in from the NFC South. They're one and done. Could Matt Ryan sting a team and actually shock a team and win?
I'm not saying it's out of the question, but I mean, any time you think the Falcons have finally got it together this year, and they're making positive headway, what happens? They lose a game.
The same thing that
win.
Happens to the New Orleans
right.
Saints.
Well, yeah, and here's what you got to look at: who are they going to be playing? I mean, the NFC wild card teams. I mean, they're going to be playing a quality opponent. I mean, even if you look at it like this, okay. If everything plays out in let's say the way the lines play out, and say Green Bay beats Detroit, and Seattle goes on to win the NFC West, and Arizona becomes a wild card, you're going to deal with Detroit Lions and Arizona as the two wild card teams. I don't think either one of those teams is going to have a lot of problems with Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they both have solid defenses. You know, they've both been playing well. Arizona's probably going to have Drew Stanton back. He's been practicing with the team a little bit. He'll probably be in there, and he's serviceable at a quarterback. I don't see how Atlanta, you know, could. I don't see how they're going to win. I think either wild card team is you know, they're you're going to have teams that are going to have at least a minimum 11 wins. I mean, all five of the teams that have clinched already in the NFC have 11 wins already. You know, so Atlanta's going to be a 7-9, you know, winner if they beat the Panthers.
Right. Right. Now, out of the South at this point right now, we talked about it a little bit, that, you know, odd part of it is that Carolina technically is in the driver's seat. Atlanta right behind them, 6-9. New Orleans, 6-9. If you're a betting man, and I know you're not, that's my department. What's your best guess on this one at the conclusion of Sunday?
Well, my best guess. I mean, everything, you know, the games in Atlanta, you know, we've already talked about all the stakes involved as far as, you know, winner goes to the playoffs. I somehow see Carolina winning this game. I don't know how. It doesn't make much sense, but Cam Newton looked like he was playing inspired last week after his near-death car accident. Jonathan Stewart, their running back, has played really well in the absence of D'Angelo Williams. Atlanta just doesn't – I don't know. There's something about Atlanta that just doesn't look right to me. So I personally think somehow Carolina is going to win this game. That's my guess. If I have to pick the game, I'm definitely taking whatever points they're getting because Atlanta's got to be favored being at home. So, you know, I'm definitely taking Carolina in the points.
And at that point, Mike Smith is gone.
Oh, I think Mike Smith's gone either way. I don't think even if he makes the playoffs, I don't think he survives. I think this team has been too big of a disappointment all year. I think Arthur Blank knows that it's a travesty that anybody from this division's in the playoffs, and I don't think he's happy. I think Mike Smith was pretty much given notice at the beginning of the season to turn it around, and I don't think a 7-9 team, even if they make the playoffs, is considered a turnaround. You know, if they win a game, okay, maybe he saves his job, but even that, you know, some of the looks on the sidelines and the words coming out of Atlanta, I just don't see how. I don't see how they say that he saves his job. I really don't. That's just my opinion.
Atlanta right now is a 4-point favorite over Carolina. That's a pretty hefty
I'm definitely
Atlanta line.
Carolina
That's an Atlanta
four.
Line.
I'm still taking Carolina into four. This game ain't going to be more than a field goal. Not it's a division rival with everything on the line. This is going to be a tightly played game. And I kind of see Carolina winning.
Interesting. What are you thinking out there, huh? We want to hear from everybody out there. And like I said, I know you're not doing anything. You're just sitting back. And if you tell me you're sitting watching that Boca Raton Bowl, come on, 347-826-9964. That's how you jump in with us, 347-826-9964. Come on, give us a holler here. We want to hear from somebody. And or jump in on Skype or at least throw something up there in the chat room. We're about halfway through. I'm going to take just a one-minute break, Brandon. 1 minute, and we'll be right back with you, and we'll get into the a couple other great ones that we had come down the line this past weekend. All have implications on where things are going in the off season. 1 minute, we'll be right back.
Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, The BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today.
Do you enjoy a completely different perspective from all other run-of-the-mill sports shows?
What in the wide, wide world of sports?
Then the Frat House Sports Show is the show for you. Join Frat House Mike and Sidekick every Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern for your weekly dose of the Frat House Sports Show. From NASCAR to hockey and everything in between, the Frat House Sports Show covers it all. Be sure to like their page on Facebook and check out their website, frathousesports.net, right here on herbfm.com.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Frat House Mike here, back with you on the Red Zone Blitz, right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. You can get hold of us, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. 1-800-324-6864, or jump in with us via Skype or in the chat room. And Brandon joining me as well. We're going through some of the games that really did affect how things are going to be looking in the playoffs. Playoffs. Come 2 weeks from now in the NFL. And I thought we'd jump it over real quick. And again, we talked about it a little bit. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on it, Brandon. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers at home beat the Kansas City Chiefs 20-12. Don't know. I came away from this one a little bit nonplus, I guess, Brandon, from the standpoint that I kind of sat there and said, well, okay, that's kind of what I expected. But you know something? You look at it and you got to go, boy, Alex Smith didn't really play that bad a game. Look, he didn't put any points up on the board. But he didn't play a bad game. 31 of 45, 311 yards for Alex Smith over there on Kansas City. He was sacked quite a bit. 88.3 QB rating, but that was mostly because he didn't have any points. But, I mean, he put up 311 yards in the air. I mean, Kansas City is just, I don't know, that team to me, I don't think they're going to get anywhere until they address the QB. I really think that's something they have to do.
Well, I don't know that Alex Smith is the problem. It might be some of the pieces around Alex Smith. I think his wide receiver core is probably a lot of their issue. I mean, Dwayne Bowe isn't the player he used to be. I don't know if it's injuries, age, or combination of both, but he's not as explosive as he used to be. They need to get some, you know, more weapons on offense. I think that's a problem. I mean, Jamal Charles can't do it all. I mean, and pretty much that's what they ask, you know, right now is for, you know, Jamal Charles provides most of their offense, be it, you know, receiving or running. So I think that's a bigger issue. I mean, Alex Smith has won. He's won with 49ers. He's won in Kansas City. I'm sure his career to date winning percentage isn't a bit, I would venture a guess to say it's positive. I don't think he's a losing quarterback. So, you know, I think Alex Smith, I think he just needs more pieces around him. I think that's what he needs. That's my opinion. Whether or not, you know, okay, is he ever going to be a franchise number one, you know, top tier quarterback? No, he's not that kind of quarterback. I don't think anybody thinks he is. However, I don't think he's the problem, as you want to say. I think they have other issues, you know, around the team. Can they be addressed? Yeah, easily. I mean, they have talent on defense. They have talent on, you know, other areas on offense. They have a great young tight end. I think his name's Travis Kelce. You know, he's looking good. So, you know, I think there's hope for Kansas City fans. I just don't know, you know, what the, you know, it's hard to put your finger on it. Let's put it that way.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, they like a lot of Philadelphia Eagles fans right now. And I mean, I know a lot of Philadelphia Eagles fans are sitting around going, damn, we were 10-6 last year. We went to the playoffs. We're going to be lucky to be 10-6 this year and not make the playoffs. You have a Kansas City team over there that was, you know, for a while there last season, they were leading that division. They ultimately did make the playoffs last year. They didn't lead the division in the end. That was Denver. But, I mean, they had a tremendous season that first year under Andy Reid. And now they're looking again, as they have for so many seasons in a row, to be what they have been, and that's strictly mediocre.
Yeah.
And so that's why I guess I throw it out there, but that's all.
Well, here's what I'll say when it comes to this game. And I'm going to kind of step away from Kansas City a little bit. I'm going to give you some kudos here because you've been saying all along Pittsburgh's for real. And they appear to be. They appear to be a better team overall than other contenders we've been talking about in previous weeks in the AFC. And I'm going to tell you this. I think if we've done our rankings, you know, in the past, as far as, you know, we've always gone New England, Denver, you know, Colts. I think you could put Pittsburgh maybe as high as two right now going into the playoffs.
I agree.
And whatever, if Cincinnati beats Pittsburgh next week, you might want to put them higher than, you know, Denver and the Colts. The Colts have shown me nothing. Every good team the Colts plays, they lose. They got their butts handed to them by a wounded Dallas team last week. You know, yeah, depending how the matchups fall and who the wild card team they face is, they may win a game because they're going to be, you know, a home game. But they're done after that if they get through whatever wild card team they play.
Couldn't agree with you more.
I think Pittsburgh has a chance to go to the title game over Denver.
I don't know. I don't know if I would go on a limb and say title game, but I would say this. Uncle Mark and I were talking this afternoon, and I made the comment that what I really, really like about what I see across the landscape of the NFL, that's NFC and AFC, is that I'm not coming away right now at this particular moment with any clear favorite for the Super Bowl. And I like that. I like the suspense of it. Now, in the AFC, I probably would give a little bit of an edge to the New England Patriots. But I certainly wouldn't to the Denver Broncos. Because the Denver Broncos, in my opinion, in the past 3 weeks, maybe four, maybe even a bit longer than that, in my opinion, have really looked very, very beatable. I would agree with you. I think it is. There's only one thing I don't want, and that is I do not want to see the Cincinnati Bengals get ahead of the Denver Broncos because I think they're just a fraud team. That's my personal opinion. But Pittsburgh, I wouldn't have an issue with. Indy, I would agree with you, Brennan. I've always kind of felt that Indy's overrated. I've felt that way for a while. But I'll tell you something. This Denver Broncos team, I think, is a team right now that is really showing a lot of warts. There's a lot of warts on this team right now. We're seeing warts on this team that we haven't seen probably in the past two seasons.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they are going to be a one and done game in the playoffs. I just don't see. I think they're because of the way things line up, it looks like they're going to get a bye because they got the clear shot at a bye. I'm not saying they can't lose, but I mean they're playing the Raiders. The Raiders have been playing better, you know. So, but it's in Denver. Denver should be able to win at home against, you know, the Raiders. So I'm going to say, okay, fine. They get number two. They get a week off. But that means they're going to play probably a Pittsburgh or Cincinnati, you know, maybe a Colts team, depending how they survive in their first round. You know, I don't like their chances. I don't like their chances against Pittsburgh. They clearly didn't look good against Cincinnati last week. The only difference is the game will be in Denver. So, you know, a Cincinnati rematch in Denver might be, you know, kind of favorable for Denver. But I don't know. If I was a Broncos fan, I'd be worried right now.
Well, now, we all sat here last night at Frat House Sports, and we watched that game against Cincinnati, and there were a number of different commentaries flying around the room as we watched it. And one of those commentaries has been that there is something not right about the game plan. All of a sudden, in the past couple of weeks, the game plan has changed up for Denver. And I just don't get it. And I think just about everybody in the room concurred with me. There is absolutely something evident about the fact the game plan is completely different for Denver.
Looks like Peyton Manning doesn't have his arm strength. I think he's having some issue with that nerve in his shoulder. They're trying to hide it. They're trying to mask it by you know, running the ball more, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's just starting to catch up to him. Every time he tries to throw the ball downfield, it doesn't look good. He doesn't have any zip on the ball. It looks like it's floating. You know, he's had Demaryius Thomas bailing out a few times because he's such a big physical receiver. But, you know, I think there's something wrong with Peyton Manning, and they're just not saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe, if he, you know, if they'd be smart, they wouldn't even play him this week against Oakland. They would play Brock Osweiler. Let him rest. Let him, you know, if they should get the bye even with Brock Osweiler, give Peyton Manning 2 weeks.
I agree with you,
Brandon. Let him go see the nerve specialist. Let him try to do whatever he has to do to get the strength back in his hand, in his arm. And maybe they can make a run in the playoffs. But the way it is right now, it certainly doesn't look that way to me.
I'm going to tell you, Denver fans, I wouldn't be running out and dropping the mortgage on the Denver Broncos this year. As much as I hate to admit, because I'm going to be perfectly honest, I kind of wanted to see the Broncos do it this year. You know, I wanted them to win it last year, but it didn't happen. And I kind of thought this would be it, but
well,
I wouldn't
I'll
do
tell
that.
You. I'm a Patriots fan, so I may be biased.
Oh, I know.
There's no way they're going into New England and coming out of there with a win. Not the way they're playing. Not unless they can fix their ailments on offense. I mean, they're just Pittsburgh would have a better chance of going to New England and winning. Cincinnati might have a better chance of going to New England and win. You know, I just don't see Denver right now. They don't have the firepower. They need to get their offense fixed. I mean, because really they're one dimensional. I mean, you can crowd the line of scrimmage and stop C.J. Anderson from running the ball, and you know Peyton ain't really doing much to back you off.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, unless they can fix that, you know, in this next week and if they get the bye, that you know that would be better. But I don't see the odds in Vegas on Denver Broncos winning the Super Bowl. Because I'm sure they started out the year as, you know, one or two, have got to fallen dramatically.
Oh, I agree with you. All right, let's go take a look at the NFC East. And this was a game that, well, won it for the Dallas Cowboys for the first time since, what, 2009, I think. They haven't been to the playoffs since in 5 years. They won the NFC East by beating the Indianapolis Colts 42-7. Brandon, I made the comment this afternoon as I watched this game, and obviously a lot of Philadelphia Eagles fans were watching this game, holding out hope against hope, you know, particularly in light of the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles had lost on Saturday, the day before. We were watching this game. And yet it appeared to me that Indianapolis' game plan was this. Real simple. Put it in a nutshell. It was, hey, if we get an early lead on these guys, great. If we don't, who gives a damn? I mean, that's kind of the way I got it. I mean, this looked like a who gives a damn sort of game. I frankly think that the Colts kind of threw the towel in. Real early in on this game. What's your thinking?
Well, I think they did only by, you know, the nature of the flow of the game. I mean, it got out of hand in a hurry. I mean, what at that point, they really had nothing left to play for. They didn't need to really risk, you know, any severe injury of trying to come back in a game that really didn't matter to them. They're in the playoffs. They're not going to get a bye. That's pretty much a foregone conclusion when they lost that game. So, you know, they're in the playoffs, they're going to have a home game. Why, you know, I think it just got out of hand and it became, you know, a moot point for them. And they mm-hmm. knew it. And I'll be honest with you, Dallas is coming on so much stronger the last few weeks. They got to be a serious contender in the NFC side. I mean, everybody was looking at Dallas and waiting, or I mean, at the Eagles and waiting for, you know, Tony Romo to have his meltdown. And it hasn't happened. He hasn't had the December meltdown. And the Eagles, as we discussed earlier, are done. So,
right.
You know, they got Washington this week. They win this game. That, you know, they're going to be – I don't know. I'm not sure how all the machinations for the byes work out. I think Dallas, if they win, will get a bye. I don't know if they'll be one or two. I think the bigger piece that has to fall in this puzzle, I think, is the Green Bay-Detroit game. So
– okay. Okay, but hold on. Let's back this up for a moment. And you were mentioning earlier, and I think you brought up a really great point. You got five teams right now. Five teams right now in the NFC with 11-4 records.
Yep.
Power rank them because you're saying now. Look, we understand that this may not come down to seeding. Your power ranks may not come down to seeding, but if we use the eye test, all right, that's a pretty fair barometer, I think. Look, you got Arizona in there as an 11-4. They're not in the number one or two.
No, I think Seattle's got to be one.
Okay.
At this moment in time, I think Green Bay's still got to be two.
Yep.
And Dallas has got to be three.
There you go. Okay. All right.
So,
we're on the same page.
Yeah. I mean, Green Bay, you could almost, depending on, you know, they've been Aaron Rodgers has been playing dinged up, I read today. And even dinged up, you know, they took care of business last week and won a game, you know, they needed to win. So, okay. I think if Green Bay gets a bye, they win this game against Detroit, they get the bye, they're going to be probably them and Seattle are going to be your two, I think, that you're going to see come out of the NFC in the title game. Dallas could have something to say about it, but, you know, here's the thing. Seattle, I think it's going to depend on who's playing at home where, but Seattle can play on the road, so, you know. I think it's the NFC side is way more compelling as far as, you know, how often have you gone into the last week having five teams tied with the best record in a conference? I don't think I've ever remembered having a scenario like this before, you know, with the NFC side. So
it's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, makes you think.
I love it. I think it's tremendous. I think it's absolutely tremendous. 347-826-9964. What do you think? Do you think it's tremendous? Hey, yeah, we want to hear from you. Looks like we're probably going to move into a little bit of overtime talk, and that's going to give you guys a little bit of extra time to jump in with us here. Please, 347-826-9964. Give us a holler, and we'll get you on the air. We talked about this one real quick, Brandon, a little bit, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. Denver lost last night, 37-28, to the Cincinnati Bengals. We've talked about this Bengals team. You and I have. You know where I come down on them. I want to be polite to our Cincinnati fans that are out there, so I'll try to refrain from using the word I normally use for them, which begins with an F. And, yeah, it's not the F word you're thinking of. Yeah, frauds. Frauds! Frauds! That's the word I use.
I don't know. After last night, I don't think you can call them a fraud anymore.
Really? All right, go ahead. Make your case.
Well, they put it to the Broncos. I mean, let's face it. They've done what they've needed to do all season. Their record is 10-4-1. They are playing for, you know, a high seed in the AFC this week. You know, they got to play Pittsburgh. But if they beat Pittsburgh, they could do some serious damage in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I know you don't want to hear it.
No, I don't. Because I think the worst thing in the world you could do would be to give these guys a home field advantage, for God's sake.
No.
Seriously, you know, I don't know. Look, it's nothing against the Bengals. It really isn't, and it's nothing against Cincinnati. I just think this organization is a lot of blue smoke and mirrors. That's what I think. And that's – I don't see anything from them. I think they're very shallow. I really do. But
no, they got two decent guys who can run the ball out of the backfield. Jermaine Gresham's a solid tight end. Yes, A.J. Green's a little fragile. Sanu, the other wide receiver, looks solid. And Andy Dalton, whether you like him or don't like him, he's been winning the games. He's been running the ball on quarterback sneaks a lot. He did it a lot last night. You got to give him his props whether you want to or not. And, you know, clearly you do not want to give him his props, and that's fine. But at the same time, you can't deny where they are as far as, you know, in the playoffs and ready to make some noise in the playoffs.
Well, okay. I'll take some money on that one. Make some noise.
See.
No, I look at them as a one and done. See.
Well, that could be, but I don't know. I think it all depends how and where they play and who. If they come up against the Colts, I don't see the Bengals beating the Colts. I think Denver, they've already proved they can beat Denver. They did it last night. Granted, it'll be a different game in Denver.
Beat Denver in Denver? Uh-uh.
We'll see.
Oh.
They need to fix themselves. I'm sorry. I think the only team that Denver Broncos want to see right now is the Indianapolis Colts. I think that's the only team they beat in the first game of the playoffs. Depending who the sixth seed is, but I mean, you gotta figure the sixth seed's probably not advancing. So, you know, you're looking at Pittsburgh, you're looking at Cincinnati, you're looking at the Indianapolis Colts as the potential first game for the Broncos. They really want to see Indianapolis. That's my opinion. Because I don't think they don't want to see anybody out of the AFC North. That's just, I think they don't survive. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
I know you don't like that. I'm sorry.
Let's do this. How about we got through the big six games that really did have the impact, and we'll just spend just a couple of minutes. Since we're already in overtime anyhow. Want to throw a couple of shout-outs, kind of honorable mentions, and we'll just do kind of a quick hit here, Brandon. Get your impression on a couple of teams as we go out the door because we're going into Week 17. Last week, the Miami Dolphins beat the Minnesota Vikings 37-35, but I'm going to tell you something. This Vikings team really... And I've been saying it all year long, and I just want to get your reaction to it. This Vikings team, to me, I think is on the move upward. I think they're resilient, and I really like what I have seen from them in the past. Well, particularly the last half season. What's your thinking on both teams?
Oh, I have no doubt. I agree. Minnesota definitely is on the uptick. I think they found their quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater looks good. I think they're going to go out with a win. They finish the season in Chicago, who's in total disarray. I don't care if Jay Cutler's playing again or not playing. It's in Minnesota. It's going to, you know, probably be, you know, an element game because it's going to be they're playing in the outdoor, you know, college stadium right now. So I think Minnesota is, like you said, they're a team on the upswing. They got two talented guys in the backfield. They need a little help maybe in wide receiver. Greg Jennings has actually kind of come on strong the last few weeks. Cordell Patterson, the guy they expected to step up this year, has not. But they have Charles Johnson, who's kind of stepped up to their number two role. So I think there's a lot of pluses going for the Vikings. They could use maybe another wide receiver in the draft, you know, but they're gonna keep gelling as a team, and they're gonna make some noise, and I think they're gonna win. What was the other team? Miami, you were asking about. I think Tannehill is almost a clone of Alex Smith, and he don't have enough pieces around him to do what he needs to do. I don't think he's ever gonna be, you know, one of the top tier franchise quarterbacks. I think Alex Smith may actually be a step above Tannehill. So, you know,
okay,
he'll have a long NFL career. There's a place for Tannehill in the league, and that's, you know, being a backup, you know, to be there when your star quarterback goes down. So I think he'll be in the league. He's a serviceable player. Because of when he was drafted, Miami has him for another year. So you're going to see him next year. We'll see what they do in the draft. If Miami's smart, they might start thinking about maybe drafting another quarterback.
What's your gut? Is Philbin still there?
No, I think he's done.
Okay.
I think that the Dan Marino entourage they sent to scout the game in Buffalo tells you all you need to know.
Okay.
And they had Eric Mangini, the departed Jets guy, and who was the other GM, the other GM they had that was Rex Ryan's GM before they put Ids again. Tannenbaum.
I know
Tannenbaum.
Who, yep.
They Mike Tannenbaum. They were up there, you know, as consulting and you know, they're there for one reason, and that was Philbin. They
okay.
could care less about anything else. So I think Philbin's done.
We'll save all that for the roundtable program. That'll be coming up, folks. Don't forget the roundtable program. That comes up late January. You're going to want to be listening in for the Frat House Sports NFL roundtable program. Talking about a team on the uptick, I believe the Raiders. How about those Raiders? 3-2 in their last five. Tony Sperano, some say he's made a case for being the head coach. I like what I've seen from... Now, look, not that I'm a Raiders fan. I'm not. But I like competitive football, and I think we've seen competitive football from the Oakland Raiders in the past couple. What do you think?
I think they're better. I think their roster needs some talent. They don't
sure.
have – I mean, Derek Carr has looked okay in his rookie season. He's not Teddy Bridgewater. He's not – I think Blake Bortles has shown more potential as a rookie over Derek Carr. They need more pieces. Their running backs are tired. Darren McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew are done. They do have another guy that's been playing recently, and he's, you know, I think he's our younger guy, so, you know, he may have some potential. Short of Mikel, the tight end, they don't have much. Their wide receiving core, they need help. And they're not the greatest on defense either, so Tony Sperano's done a good job at invigorating the guys that are there. Has he done enough to warrant, you know, the permanent job? I don't know. Tony Sperano never really showed me much in Dallas, and unfortunately, wasn't he the scapegoat for the whole Jonathan Martin, Rick G. Incognito thing? I think Philbin was there last year, but I think it kind of went back to Sperano. Some of the antics, I don't know. So whether or not he gets it, gets the permanent gig, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly proven he's a solid coordinator. He was the offensive coordinator before the firing of the head coach and took over. And he's certainly, you know, got them to play better. You're right. They don't look as horrible of a team as they did prior. I don't think they're anywhere near Minnesota. I think Minnesota's probably on a much, much, much higher upswing than Oakland, and they're a lot closer to playoffs than Oakland. I would even say Miami's closer. I think Miami has a better defensive core, and they have some talented players on offense.
There.
I mean, even Lamar Miller, he's a little older, but, you know, he's a solid running back. Charles Clay, the tight end, has shown promise. Mike Wallace doesn't fit there. Maybe a new scheme offensively might be enough to get him. He was a high-dollar free agent they took from Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh didn't want no part of him, so, you know, he's shown to be a bit of a prima donna. So I don't know. I think Miami's, they got some pieces they can work with for sure. I think Oakland needs a lot of help. I think they need to have a good 2 or 3 years of solid drafting and, you know, some smarter decisions with their personnel before they're ready to make a run. They have been playing better though than they had. I will admit that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to, you know, say they're not, but does anybody see them, you know, beating Denver this week in Denver? I don't think so.
No.
Even a Denver team that's been playing wounded all year or last several weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking for a wrinkle, you know. We're in overtime talk, so I'm looking for a wrinkle.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Real quick, Seattle put a shellacking on the Cardinals last week, 35-6. Cardinals, how far are we going here?
Well, it's a shame. I'd love to see
Lindley,
the Cardinals.
18 of 44, huh?
No. I'd love to see the Cardinals have Carson Palmer healthy and playing. I think they could make some noise in the playoffs with that defense and the pieces around. You know, they have clearly have talented receivers on that team. Drew Stanton, if he can come back and be moderately healthy and play well, they might win a game. I don't see them... You know, when they come up against Seattle or a Green Bay or even a Dallas, I think they're going to have, you know, unfortunately their season come to an end. You know, if they get the draw that they play the NFC South team, if they say they're a wild card and they go to the South, I think they can clearly beat any Carolina Panthers or the Falcons. I think they beat either one of them, even without maybe a healthy Drew Stanton or, you know, Lindley or Logan, whoever they throw out there. So, you know, I don't know. I'd like to see Arizona have Carson Palmer because I think they deserve it. I think they kind of got a little raw deal last year, you know, being 10-6 on the outside looking in, and they're kind of getting a little raw deal with injuries. Bruce Arians has done a great job as their head coach, you know, and I think all things being equal, next year they're going to be a solid player in this. I think, you know, from the sounds of things, it looks like they're going to stick with Carson Palmer for at least another year. You know, he obviously has got to rehab and come back from injury and be healthy. All signs are pointing to them keeping Larry Fitzgerald one way or the other. The GM came out yesterday and said, yeah, we already got $20 million or whatever his number is accounted for. He's retiring as a Cardinal. I think that's a good sign.
That's what I heard, too. Exactly.
You know, Andre Ellington will be healthy. He'll be better. They need to have a better complementary running back to go with Ellington. Ellington's a solid playmaker, but, you know, he's a little fragile to be their only back, so they need to maybe add a piece here or there. I don't know what was up with Michael Floyd all year. He looked like he was poised to become the number one receiver, and he's kind of just been nowhere. The two Browns that they have, 12 and 13, John Brown, and I can never remember the other Brown's first name, they've shown signs. They're both young receivers, and soon, you know, they have deep playability. They look good. You know, I think there's a lot of what's the word? Potential, even moving forward with a team, if they can just keep the quarterback position and healthy.
Healthy, 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 that's the word.
Well, if you look at our chat room, Uncle Mark kind of put a thing up about the Texans. They're kind of in the same boat. They got a lot of pieces that look good and promising. They've had quarterback issues all year. You know, that could be the AFC version of the Cardinals right there. I mean, they got an awesome defense with J.J. Watt leading that defense. You know, Mario, what's his name? The first-round pick, he wasn't Mario. Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, Jadeveon.
You know, if he can recover from his knee issues this offseason, you know, they could be a force on defense. You know, give them, a healthy, you know, Fitzpatrick or, you know, Ryan Mallett's already come out and said he'd love a chance to, you know, contend for the starting quarterback, you know, in Houston. I don't know. I don't know what Houston's thinking is.
I frankly didn't think Fitzpatrick played all that poorly this year.
I don't either.
I'd give him a shot. I read Uncle Mark's comment as well, and the first question I went to, Brandon, like you did, was, well, for God's sake, they need a QB, and where do you go? Do you go? See, because Houston is not in a position at this point right now to go to the draft.
No,
so
they're going to be in the middle of the pack.
Exactly. You're either going to go free agent, or you're going to try to work with what you've got internally. And to me, why would you discard Fitzpatrick?
Well, here's the thing. Here's what they got to do. This is my opinion for the Texans. They need to make a choice and keep Fitzpatrick or Mallett for next year and not both. You don't want to start the year with a controversy. Don't start with, oh, well, we're going to let them play it through camp, through preseason, and then, you know, run with them both on the roster. Because you're just going to – as soon as one has a bad game, whoever the starter is, they're going to be calling for the other one. You pick one, you make him the starter for next year, incumbent, and you draft – you know, there's, what, 5-6 quarterbacks deep. Even drafting in the middle, you could draft – you're going to get a quarterback. You're not going to have 6 quarterbacks go before mid of the first round. You might have 3 go, but you're not going to have 6. They could get – somebody they can work with out of the draft in the quarterback, or maybe go with a guy like Brian Hoyer, who's a free agent. You know,
well, and this draft coming up is deeper in the QB position, which means you're not going to get you're not getting Jameis Winston, you're not getting Marcus Mariota, okay, in the second round. That's not happening. But you're not going to get a bad quarterback in a second round. You're not going to get a bad quarterback in the third round.
I agree with you. And I think the Houston Texans have such a solid defense, and they do have, you know, some players on the other side of the ball on offense that, you know, okay, Andre Johnson's a little long in the tooth and probably his last year in Texas, they thought he was, you know, there was all kind of talk he was going to be traded early in the season, and it just never materialized. I would have loved to see them pull off a trade, sending Johnson to the Patriots. They were talking about it, but it never happened. So, okay, they may need to, you know, refresh some of the skill positions on the other side of the ball. Arian Foster's getting a little, you know, used. The tread on that tire is getting worn down a little, as they say. But I think they still have enough pieces in place. You know, if they can, you know, they could, you know where they could be? They could be where Minnesota is right now next year with a young quarterback.
Yep.
Looking towards the future, ready to roll. And they're not as far away as a team like the Raiders or, you know, other teams we've talked about that just need a lot more.
That's
work.
A great point. That's a great point because, I mean, when you take a look at the Texans, they at least have got something of a defense that's already been worked up.
Oh, yeah. So, and they're playing in a division that's not that strong.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I was going to say,
so
that's a cherry picker.
Them.
You could cherry pick this division.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans are a disaster with Wisenhunt as the head coach. Who knows if he might be one and done, but, you know, because since it is his first year, they'll probably at least give him a second. Jacksonville is no closer to being anything than they were last year. I mean, they're maybe a little better if Blake Bortles can continue to develop. They still have tons of questions at wide receiver. Their defense still isn't the, you know, where it needs to be. So, really, the Texans and the Colts are the only two teams that have anything, you know, in this AFC South. So, the Texans are not that far from being a playoff contender. And I'll be honest with you, Indianapolis has been a disappointment this year. I thought they were ready to take a step. And, you know, they're 10-5, and they're probably going to win and become 11-5. However, I don't see them going very far in the playoffs. I think they might have a chance at beating. You know, if they end up with the 3, they're going to get the 6 seed, which is going to be, you know, the Chargers or the Ravens. More like than likely right now. I think that's a game the Colts win. Then from there, you know, who knows? It's a crapshoot.
Yep. Well, not surprising to me. Yeah, that's where I'm coming down.
The Colts are not beating a Pittsburgh team or a Cincinnati team, especially if they're playing them in Pittsburgh or Cincinnati.
I've contended for the past couple of seasons that I think the Colts are overrated.
Well, they also have some injuries, too, right now, too. So, I mean, they lost Bradshaw, at running back, who was playing really solid for them. T.Y. Hilton missing games with nagging injuries. Trent Richardson still sucks, hasn't changed, not going to change. You know, I don't see the Colts being able to make, you know, much of a push this year.
All right, well, there you go. We got through our week 16.
Okay, before you sign off, I want to ask you a question.
Who do you
think is going to be this elusive 6th seed? I mean, we've already established if San Diego can beat the Chiefs, it's theirs. Do you see that happening in Kansas City? You don't have any faith in Baltimore. Who do you think comes out of there with the 6th seed in the AFC?
The Chargers.
You think the Chargers? You think they can beat the Chiefs and take
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think it's going to be the Chargers. Personally, I would like to see it go that way. I did not want to see the two wild cards come out of the AFC North. That's just where I was coming down on it. I didn't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
On top of which, I'm not a big listen. I love Baltimore. And everybody that knows me personally knows I am a monster Baltimore fan. I love the folks in Baltimore, and I love going to Baltimore. I don't like the Ravens.
Nah.
I don't like the Ravens right now at all. I don't like Joe Flacco. I don't like what that whole team management is doing down there. I'm not a big fan of the Ravens. I want to see the Chargers. I would like to see the Chargers do this. I think they have an excellent chance of doing it. I'd like to see that other wild card come right there.
Well, it could be. I mean, it's tough going into Kansas City, though, and beating the Chiefs. That's, you know, that's a tough order.
Well, that's almost like
going to
Seattle, right?
Yeah. Those are the two that keep swapping the noise record back and forth. You know, and the Ravens, I think, have an easier path. They got a dinged up Cleveland Browns team who they're not even sure is going to be quarterback. They signed Big Pen off the street today, you know, going to Baltimore. You know, Baltimore is probably a shoo-in to win their game. And, you know, if, you know, it's going to come down to that Chargers-Chiefs game. Whoever wins, you know, if the Chiefs win, the Ravens are in, and you're going to have what you don't want with the three AFC North. So it's,
well,
it's
going to
be a fun week of football. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we've talked about this one right here on this program, you know, Brandon, you and I have for almost 4 months now.
Well,
we've looked at this AFC North, and we've said, you know, this is a stacked division. Look at the nonsense going on up here, and you know, we've kind of. I mean, I think in many respects, you and I have kind of resigned ourselves to the fact that, well, hey, it's probably going to go that way. But if I have my nethers,
right?
Joe Flacco is sitting on the. Listen, if I have my nethers, Joe Flacco is coming home to Delaware to go play golf in about 2 weeks.
No, okay. I mean, we'll have to look. I mean, I think of the two games, I think Cleveland is losing. Baltimore's going to win. I think the San Diego Chiefs or the San Diego Chargers and the Chiefs game is much more up in the air. I can't. That's a tough game to pick, and a lot of it's because, you know, the Chargers have been so flaky all year. They can't decide to be good, you know? They have no running game to speak of.
And Kansas City's got the better defense, and they're going to be playing at home.
Mm-hmm. That's I don't know. We'll have to just see. Sunday's going to be fun. You know, looking at the schedule, I'm surprised.
That's going to be a highlight game. Well, In fact, that might be a game on Friday that we're going to be highlighting right here on the Fred House Sports Show.
I mean, the Chargers, absolutely. You got to talk about it. You got to anything with playoff implications, we got to talk about. And that one's clearly got to be there.
Absolutely.
Clearly, Detroit, Green Bay. Clearly, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. You know, those are the three that all matter. And then you got to pick maybe even the Ravens, Browns. Although that line's going to be ridiculous. Yeah, we'll have to figure. We'll figure out the fourth game, but you know. Oh, there you go. The Atlanta and the Panthers. Those are the four meaningful games right there.
Yeah. They all have direct
implications of seeding and or playoff making.
Mm-hmm. No, we've got some games to pick out for the Friday program. And since we're talking about programming, let me just get into it a little bit. Because, you know, a couple of people are probably sitting there going, well, wait a minute. Hey, this is great. You guys are coming to us on here on a holiday weekend You're keeping your programming pretty standard. That's great. Yeah, Tuesday night, we're always here with you on the Red Zone Blitz. And then tomorrow night, yes, it is Christmas Eve, but Jim Williams and I will be coming to you here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. In fact, Jim and I have been going back all afternoon and this evening talking about what that program is going to be all about, because we're going to be bringing you our all Philadelphia Eagles program inside the War Nest tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Oh, boy, do you want to hear? Yeah, you know, I know it's Christmas Eve. You don't want to be depressed. We're going to try to keep it light. We're going to try to not make it depressing. Jim and I've got some ideas in mind. You're going to want to listen in. It's going to be fun. It'll be a good, fun, frivolous, frolicking hour for you to listen to before you get into the eggnog. Yeah, do that. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., inside the War Nest with Jim Williams and myself. And we'll be bringing you all the Philadelphia Eagles stuff from this past week. And, well, as we move forward into the last week of the season with the New York Giants. Our normal flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, which is on Saturday or on Thursday, rather. Well, that one we're going to push off until Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Thursday, of course, is Christmas Day, so we will push that one off until Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you're here with us for the Frat House Sports Show, and that's where Brandon and I were talking about all the different picks that we will be making and then I will be back here with you again, as usual, on a Frat House Saturday. Well, as we start to move closer and closer to New Year. So I guess we'll start getting into the New Year theme for the Frat House Saturday program at 2 p.m. Eastern time right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. All right, so tomorrow night you got Inside the War Nest. No Frat House Sports Show on Thursday, but we will be here on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then Frat House Saturday on Saturday afternoon at its regular time at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Brandon, thank you very much, as usual.
Sure thing.
The brain trust of this program. And thank you all as well for listening in. And from all of us here at Frat House Sports, we wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. Make sure you're tuning in with us again tomorrow evening, Christmas Eve, for Inside the War Nest. Catch you soon.